There wasn't anything for it, so we stripped off and toweled down and then got dressed. Ronzoni didn't look like Ronzoni without a suit. I could have passed him on the street without a look. I put on the trousers and the shirt and then slipped on the linen jacket. Emery was right. They fit perfectly.
You look like Don Johnson, said Ronzoni.
You look like Ferdinand Marcos. Ronzoni frowned like he had no idea who I was talking about, so I grabbed my wet shorts and shirt and stepped out of the cage.
Very nice, Emery said. Definitely a step up.
She took our wet gear and hung Ronzoni's suit and tossed the rest in a huge dryer.
Detective, I'll ask our maid to take care of your suit shortly.
I'm not sure the maid's going to be up for much work, I said.
Of course, I forgot. Poor Rosaria. Never mind, I'll come back and take care of it myself.
She led us out of the laundry and down the bland corridor and back into the lobby, where we ran into the manager, Neville. He had changed suits. I was guessing he didn't get his from either the boutique or lost property, but his new suit looked just as immaculate as the last one. He had even combed the errant hair.
Miss Taylor, I have asked all the guests to convene in the lounge so we can go through procedures for the next 12 hours or so.
Yes, sir.
Miss Rosaria is lying down in her room. Mr. Ribaud and Mr. Zidane are the only guests I am yet to locate. Could you undertake a quick search?
Of course, sir.
Emery dashed away and Neville gave me a cursory smile and looked me over.
Mr. Jones, excellent choice, he said, referring to my clothing. Very dapper.
I just nodded. I was fairly certain he didn't know it had come from his lost and found. He glanced at Ronzoni.
Detective, was all he offered. If you gentlemen will join me in the lounge?
He pointed the way with a slight bow and we wandered into the lounge, which I would have called a bar. It was like a tea room, with a large chandelier and floral print wallpaper, a little too pastel for my tastes. At one end was a bar backed with colored bottles of booze, and toward the ocean side were sofas and lounge chairs set around even lower coffee tables. The sofas and lounge chairs were mostly taken by the few guests. There were 3 women and 4 men. I knew Ron and Cassandra. The athletic black guy from the gym was there. So was Sam, the guy who had attempted to get off the island with us. The 4th guy was new to me, as was a strongly built black woman and the young blonde I had seen on my first visit to the lobby earlier that day. The attention of the group was on the hotel manager.
"We're just waiting for 2 of your party,
he said, seemingly to the 5 people I didn't know, although they weren't seated together. Neville stood erect and quiet. He didn't look at all uncomfortable, staying silent before a crowd, which I guessed was some kind of skill worthy of a hospitality professional in a 5-star hotel. As we waited, one of the missing guests arrived. He was tall and strong in the chest, but thin in the waist, and he wore a similar look of contempt that the muscle guy in the gym had worn. His hair was wet, but combed neatly.
"Mr. Ribaud," said Neville. "What's going on?" he said.
I picked up another French accent.
"Just some routine announcements to ensure everyone's safety during the storm."
I noted that Neville was avoiding the word hurricane.
"Won't you take a seat?"
The guy called Ribaud loped by and sat next to the strong-looking woman on the sofa. Ronzoni grabbed a piece of wall to lean on, and I sat in a cluster of chairs with Ron and Cassandra and the blonde woman who I had seen earlier outside the lounge. Up close, she was attractive, but in need of a decent feed.
"Look at you," said Ron, running his hand down the jacket I was wearing. "Very dapper."
"That's what the manager said."
"He's right," said Cassandra. "You do freshen up very nicely, Miami."
"Thanks. Ronzoni thinks I look like Don Johnson."
"Oh, pish posh," she waved the idea away. "You look very smart, like you're going to solve one of those Agatha Christie murders."
Which was a hell of a thing to say, given the next thing we heard was the sound of a paint-peeling scream from the other end of the hotel.